through your story, you should definitely consider storytelling because you're really good at it. The details are very beautiful. So yeah, what happened now? You're told to hold Rayma's legs. You and the nurse are working together, and the doctor is ready. You know, after she got the doctor got like sprayed with the amniotic fluid,
Womb
being all sarcastic, like, oh yeah, you know, I know better, and she's only 8.5 centimeters. So yeah, what happened next?
So that, yeah, so next, yeah, so I'm holding your leg, and the nurse is holding the other leg, and then the doctor is just, you know, kind of giving direction as to what everyone is supposed to be doing. And then she asks Rima to start pushing. And then beforehand, before all of that, I told myself that I was not going to look. I didn't want to look, right? I didn't want to see it happen because I've seen videos on YouTube before and it was really gruesome. So I was like, nah, you know what? I don't want to be one of those that's gonna stand in there and then just pass out, or something like that. I'm like, okay. I looked away, and then I can hear her push, with the screams and everything. She's pushing, she's pushing, and then next thing I know, I have my two eyes down there looking at everything that's happening. There was a switch in my brain at some point. It's like, my brain's like, no, you have to
I
look. I
need
didn't
to
even
know.
realize it. I need to know. I need to see this, right? So I'm in there looking, and then I can see the head of the baby that's starting to pop out. And like then at this point, I'm like rushed with emotions. I think I even started crying. You know, amazed by the beauty of the birth of my baby girl. So basically as she's pushing, you could see the head starts to pop out. And then when she stops pushing, the head kind of goes back inside. Right. So
Okay.
it's really like a, you know, like she's
It's
pushing,
like
it comes
tug of
out, and every
war.
time it comes out a little bit more, yeah, it's like a tug of war, right? And then at some point, the whole head is out, right? And then the doctor, well, I guess the doctor and I noticed at the same time because we're looking, and realized that what do you call this?
The
The
umbilical cord?
cord, the yes, umbilical cord is wrapped around her neck.
Wow.
All right, and then immediately, doctor asked my wife to stop pushing and to hold it. And I think probably the danger there was that if the head goes back inside, maybe the cord is going to wrap tighter around her neck and stuff. All right, so she's asking her to hold, and then she unwraps the cord from around the baby's neck, right? And then she asks my wife, okay, so on the next contraction, you're gonna push. And then my wife says, I'm still on that same contraction. And she's like, okay, push. And then she starts pushing again. And then we hear a pop noise. Pop. And then juice and room liquid blood just explodes and flies into the doctor's face like a pfft. That's crazy. And then the baby gets ejected. gets ejected, and doctor catches the baby with one hand almost. And then she pulls her up, and then my baby girl just raises her arm to the sky and then starts screaming.
Like a Spartan.
Like a Spartan war cry, and that's how she was born, and it was, you know, at that moment, I think I even said that out loud. I said, "Wow, this was the most beautiful and disgusting moment I've ever witnessed in my life."
That's And tell us the first time that, like, you had baby in your arms. Like, what were you going through emotionally, mentally? Because now, you know, now the powerlessness of, like, not being able to actually be, like, actually do something with baby, that powerlessness, because baby used to be inside somebody, you know, I'm assuming, I'm hoping, started to dissipate because now you actually have the person in your hand. So, like, what was going through your head at that point?
So, at this point, it's like, so she comes out, and the first thing that hit me is that in all those videos that I've seen previously on YouTube of things coming out, it's like when they come out, they're all like covered in goo and blood and all that stuff. They're, you know, they're pretty much disgusting. No, let's be honest here. They're pretty much disgusting when they come out. But this one, she when she came out, she was clean.
Right.
Like, there wasn't anything on her. Like, they didn't have to, like, wipe her down or anything like that. Like, this was crazy. And one detail I forgot to mention is that, so from the time that she started to push, from the time that she was out, there was only 5 minutes.
Right.
Right. And usually that, for a first time mother, these that time can range from hours to, I guess, multiple hours, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so sometimes that happened in 5 minutes. That's one of the reason why she was so clean and stuff. And then, anyway, so the nurse, they do the thing, they take measurements and all that stuff, and then she hands it to me. And then it's like the feeling that I got when I first hold her, when I held her for the first time is incredible. Immediately, you feel, I felt rushed with love. Like, there was this tiny human that I've been waiting for so long, and then she was right there, and then, like, instantly I felt that, you know, the connection that I was longing for with this tiny human was right there, right in front of me. Right. Right? It was, I finally get to physically feel, you know, what it is to be a father, I guess. And then you kind of forget about all the hardship that you had to go through, or that she had to go through to get there.
Right.
And then it just opens up a brand new world of possibility in terms of creating that relationship, or that link with that tiny little human that you're holding in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that feeling of being a superhero finally kind of really meant something at this point, right? Because it was mission accomplished, you know.
Yeah.
We're able to get to that goal that we had been working for so long.
Yeah. Oh, but, like, if you ever decide to start writing, you should write that whole story down, because it should... It would make a great episode on, like, one of those medical doctor shows, because all the dramatics and the theatrics of it is, like, on point. And now baby's been with you for a few months, still home, still working from home. So how has your routine kind of modified or changed? Because now you have another person. First you were two, now you're three. How has that modified now since bringing baby home?
Well, first we had to, like, to change the whole setup of the house to accommodate for the baby.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of preparation that was done beforehand, like, to make sure that we're, like, then again, because my wife is, like, a, you know, a nurse, so everything is prepared, everything has been, like, thoroughly researched and reviewed and peer reviewed by this and that, when she look at stuff online. So we already have, like, a, you know, a proper setup for everything. So it does change, it kind of changes everything, right? because now everything you do in the house is, you have to think about the baby, right? Yeah. About what is best for the baby.
Yeah.
So even, you know, even when we eat and stuff like that, because of breastfeeding, we have to think about what may affect the baby and so on and so on.
Right. You don't want to eat food that's too spicy because it might change the milk, the breast milk, and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And by the way, for all the fathers out there, if you do get a chance, taste the breast milk.
Okay.
It is actually very good.
Okay.
It's sweet. I didn't expect it. It's actually very sweet. I understand why babies like it so much.
Anyway, it's
exciting. Okay. So maybe we can get into something that's more, that's deeper here.
Okay.
In the sense that, yes, you do all the preparation and then you might kind of modify your lifestyle and all that stuff for the baby. That's normal stuff. That's what everybody does. Maybe what's interesting to touch on is the whole thing about parenting, mm-hmm. right? So the first thing that we realize is that no matter the amount of book that you read or the amount of videos that you watch or how much you think that you know,
yeah,
right? The first thing that you realize is that you don't know jack shit.
Exactly.
And the sooner you can come to the realization that you don't know, and it's okay not to know because you're a first-time parent,
mm-hmm.
this is when you can start to really move on, you know, and adopt that more constructive mind in terms of figuring out what is best for your baby mm-hmm. rather than panicking about what you might not be doing or what you might be doing wrong.
Right. Yeah, you can't really, each child is so different that you can't really follow like because a book says step one is this, step two is this, step three is this.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily mean that's the order. And that doesn't mean that those are the steps that you're going to be taking at all, because everybody is different.
Exactly.
You can use it as a guideline, but not, it can't be like a blueprint.
Exactly. Yeah. And then even when it comes to and then because you're in that stage where it's kind of unknown, but you do want to do like the best possible for your child,
yeah,
you ask yourself questions about everything.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you know, when I was holding her, and light, let's say, you know, the sunlight is coming through the window and then it flashes over her face, like I didn't see her pupil
dilate
or get smaller. Okay. Right. So then I'm thinking, oh wait, is there something wrong with her? Right. And then I start to look it up on the internet, and then make some research, you know, find some articles, and it seemed to indicate that there may be some type of neurological issue with her and her brain and development and all that stuff.
Right.
And you become, then this is for me, right? So it creates this type of anxiety where you're like, okay, so do I have to act now? Like, should I take her to the ER right now to make sure that it doesn't, you know, degenerate into something, you know, more dangerous, or, you know, like, should I take action right now?
Yeah.
So then you start speaking to other family members. They're like, oh yeah, it's normal. And then the other one's going to be like, no, that's not normal. So you kind of, you don't know exactly where to stand. And
there's no cookie cutter mold that you can follow. It's like,
yeah.
One person will give you one piece of information, but another person gives you something completely opposite. So you really, at the end of the day, you don't know what you're actually supposed to do, because your research is not showing up like scientific data. It's not showing like, okay, 9 out of 10 times, if this happens, it's like, no, it's one, then it's yes, then no, then maybe, then probably, then if then,
yeah,
if this then that, it's not consistent.
Yeah, it's exactly. And then so in the end, she had an appointment with her doctor. Well, it wasn't even a doctor, it was a nurse. And I asked that to the nurse. I'm like, you know, like, she doesn't seem to be responding to lights. And the nurse is like, kind of make this weird face, like, what are you talking about? And then she examined her and she's like, no, the response is fine. And as she's doing, I can see that her eye is not, like, the pupil in her eyes is not, like, moving as she's passing the light in her face. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the nurse like, what are you talking about? Like, are we looking at the same thing? And right. She's like, no. It's because you have to look at the response in the other eye. So all along, I was thinking not looking at her the right way.
Right.
In the sense that at this age, if you pass light in one eye, then the other one is going to respond, not the one that's, you know, not the eye where you're flashing the light.
Wow, that's interesting.
See? And so that's why I say that you really have to, you know, get to realization that you really don't know, like, unless, I mean, you know, you have medical training and you already know all of those things.
Right.
There is some limitation to the amount of Google research that you can do, right? Because in none of those research said that you have to look at the response in the other eye, not the one that you're flashing the lights on.
Wow.
So just to give an example of how, you know, nerve-wracking you can get.
Yeah.
And now I understand when I used to hear things saying that, you know, having a baby is really like the ultimate test for a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt that at that moment, because when it's just the two of you, you can sit down and rationalize things and then find solutions.
Yeah.
You know, talk about emotions and all of that stuff. But when it comes to your child, it's like,
it's a whole different ball game.
It's a whole different ball game. And then just an example like the one I just gave. So as I'm voicing my concerns about, you know, her not responding to light the way that she should be,
mm-hmm.
On the other side, my wife might be already anxious about, you know, something else related to breastfeeding.
Right.
And then when it gets into a situation where she's like, why are you adding stress on top of my stress I already have? Are you trying to tell me that there's something wrong with my child?
Right.
And it's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just, you know, expressing my concern as a parent for the, you know, because I just want to make sure my daughter is fine. I want the well-being of my daughter. So in that moment, I understand how it can really make or break a couple, this dynamic of, you know, of two parents dealing with their own emotions in regard to their fitness as a parent of taking care of the child. I don't know if I word that in a way that makes sense.
Like, but also, you're now that baby's out, you're still having two completely different experiences in terms of at this early stage to be parenting, and it's gonna be two completely different experiences throughout your entire lives, because you are not only the father, but you are Cedric who has this life experience and this way of looking at things, and she is Rayma and she is the mother and she has this life experience and this way of looking at things. So you're gonna see things with baby that she might not prioritize or notice at all, because she has things that you're probably not prioritizing or experiencing at all. So I can see where the conflict will come, because it's like she sees you as adding something, but it's like, no, this is just my experience and my perspective, and you are valid as a father in voicing those concerns, as she is valid as the mother in voicing her concerns. Mm-hmm. We do have to take another quick break. So just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are continuing our series talking to Black fathers for the entire month of June. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Pas mes larmes, et
c'est anti-monde tombé. Fait politicien prend rouler. Bah, vivre nous à la vie. Y'a rend la vie n'impose. Majorité moun pas travail. Pas forcé anesthésier. Peuple là nan coutaille. Il pas là pour dénoncer. Défoncer sac bêtisé. Qui pas comprendre qui wolio. C'est pour élever les fruits autres cap dormi. Depuis nan Guinée, Bonneg et Deneg. J'Afrika alertine. Ouvert jour, ouvre les oreilles. Pas chita nan misé. Écarté toute ville au pays. Facebook, Twitter. Ou pas ouais nous tout nan day. Ça fait mal les mâmes gâtés. Y'a un petit moun en palimpé. Cap groumé pour à l'hôpital. J'ai sans ou lever. Sans transport. Sur un rubrique blessé qui fatigué. Dégoûté à quoi tu journalistes cap constitué. Pour quelques dollars pas représenté. Format société. La justice, tout pas garanti. Même sous handicapé. Frem.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominic Ferguson, and we are continuing our Black Father series with Cedric Charles Titus, who is a born in Montreal to Haitian parents, is now 36 years old, married, proud father of a beautiful baby girl born this past January. He grew up in Aylmer, a small city close to Ottawa, currently known as Gatineau, and moved back to Montreal for school. He completed his studies at HEC Montreal and is currently working as a senior business analyst for TELUS. Cedric, I am so grateful that you agreed to come on, and I'm grateful for your honesty and your vulnerability in sharing your story, the story of the birth of your first baby girl. And it's coming to the end of the show. I just wanted to ask you, what are maybe a few key things in your experience that you think you can share with someone who is becoming a new father?
Well, first thing I would say, and I'll just repeat something I said early on, is to accept the fact that you don't know everything, and there's no way that you can know everything.
Yeah.
Second thing I would say is more than ever, when there's a third human, when there's a child involved in your relationship, you have to create those, you have to be open about, I would say, how you feel with your significant other, mm-hmm. In order to make sure that you create that strong connections, that would give you the tools to address the challenges that will come, because there will be some for sure.
Right.
There's really no amount of preparation that would really prepare you for what it actually is in real life. Mm-hmm. Parenting, at least from my perspective, at first seemed like it was going to be not necessarily easy, but I felt that this is something that I would have a good handle on.
Right.
And as I'm going through it, I realize, how can I say that, some of the limitation that there is to what you can do as a father, especially when the child is very young.
Mm-hmm.
So in my case, only being months old, it's like one of the first things I realized is that I don't have a breast. Mm-hmm. I don't have milk coming out of my breast. Right?
Yeah.
So even though I want to be the father, this is my child, let me take her and put her to sleep.
Right.
Nah. Like, until she gets that milk, she's going to cry and cry and make your life miserable.
Right.
So at first, it's really a support role that you have as a father. Mm-hmm. To try, to make it as comfortable as possible for the mother.
Yeah.
Because she will be doing the brunt of the work.
For a good chunk of time.
And yeah, definitely a good chunk of it. Right. It doesn't stop you from being involved. It doesn't stop you from being around. It doesn't stop you from offering help, and making things as comfortable as possible. Yeah. Right. I don't have that much advice to give because I'm fairly new at this.
Yeah. I think it's important because, when it comes to pregnancy, and I have a child as well, and I, you know, do research, talk to people that I know, and the majority of the information is always centered around the mother. It's about the mother, the preparation for the mother, but oftentimes we get forgotten. Fathers get forgotten because of that, because the mother's actually doing the physical aspect of carrying the child, birthing the child, and then for depending on how long the mother is willing to breastfeed, a year or 2 years, breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. So a lot of emphasis is put on the side of the mother, but I think it's really important to get that perspective of like, okay, the dad, this is what the dad can do on his side as well. It's almost like we have to intuitively figure it out. But the truth of the matter is we play a vital role in the creation of the child. And even though we are not carrying the child, we can actively support our partner, the mother of our child, moving forward. And I think that we need to acknowledge that fathers are just as important as mothers when it comes to parenting and when it comes to making sure that that child is safe and ready in this world that we're living in. Cedric, thank you so much. This has been awesome to talk to you. I think we're going to have to bring you on in maybe a year or two again to get an update and get some more stories from you. Thank you very much for participating in this Black Fathers dedication to Black Fathers Month. I wish you all the best with your daughter and your family. And hopefully we're like, you know, this pandemic just becomes like non-existent and we can find a new, I don't want to say go back to normal. I want to say find a new normal because obviously what we were doing before wasn't working. So let's find a new way of doing it. I mean, come on, we've been in lockdown for two years in March. Like something ain't working if we have to be in lockdown for that long. That's how I feel about that. Thank you for joining us this evening. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And ladies and gentlemen, this is part of our series, Black Fathers, Celebration of Black Fathers for the month of June. And we just spoke to Cedric Charles Titus, whose baby was just born this January, so it's still fresh. We do have to sign off because it's the end of the show. Show's got to end. Join us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name has been Kim Dominic Ferguson, and you have been listening to Soul Perspectives. Have a good night. Is that sunshine in the rain?
Carol G. Strip Love Tour. In concert. Saturday, September 17th at Bell Center. Get tickets now at carolgmusic.com.
Politica is thrilled to announce the theatrical release of Dear Jackie, a feature documentary by Henri Pardot. The film opens on June 17 in 4 theaters in Montreal: Cinéma Public, Cinéma du Musée, Cinémathèque Québécoise, and Cinéma Moderne, with the director and special guest in attendance at select screenings. Dear Jackie poetically tells the story of one of the oldest black communities in Canada, Montreal's Little Burgundy, by way of a cinematic letter to Jackie Robinson, the first black man to break the color barrier in professional baseball. It also masterfully connects history to the present by challenging the myth of a post-racial society. This release is co-presented by Desta Black Youth Network, Tyndale St. George's Community Center, Canteen Bergs, and Makisia Solo. For more information and tickets, visit cinemapolitica.org. We hope to see you there. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
It's the boy Dash all the way from Grenada and they tune in to C-Cut 90.3 FM.
sentimente siento cum se întoarce Balcanul. Am zis că plec, că nu mă mai întorc, dar după atâta timp în suflet mai pot. Distanță, încă ne desparte, continente separate, povestea noastră de carte, dar o să avem happy în toate. Viața le rezolvă pe toate, tot ce-a fost rău timpul lasă în spate. Și dacă tu ești a mai jumătate, sigur ne vom împătra într-o noapte.
Și-am ajuns acum.
Nici măcar nu ne place, dar ne place ce face. Simple jocuri, nici măcar nu vorbim. De ce să vorbim când deja ne simțim? Jocuri, tu și cu mine, facem un rău care ne face bine. Și nici legea firii nu poate să pună că tu și iubire. Jocuri, nici măcar nu se țină. Și cine-i de vină, nici nu mai contează. Jocuri, că mintea e plină și ochii sunt goi, nici nu mai luminează. Jocuri, avem doza minimă, să ne jucăm inima, mai mult nu se poate. Jocuri, am zis că te las eu deoparte, dar mi-e clar nu se poate. Faci tu ce face, îmi place mie. Pe la Mexico, traído, yeah. Fashion killer la Milano. Cum de m-a prins, cum m-a convins să-i fac cadouri, vacanțe de vis. Țoale e șarfe și harfe de mis. O fi de la vrășeală sau fundul la jeans. Ăsta-i drogul meu și cred că nu mai pot să scap. Am antecedente, mă simt super slab. Domnișoare, spune-mi ce mi-ai pus în ceai. Sau în supă după că mă simt prea high. Ai to me, dei, dei, știi. Să mă fac să mă întorc orice-ar fi. Să-mi pierd controlul și noapte și zi. Și jur m-aș opri, dar faci tu ce face, îmi place mie. Ai tu ceva de nu-ți rețis. Tu ești și rău, dar ești și bine. Ești drogul meu. Cel mai dulce compromis.
Droguri, droguri, droguri. Încerc să mă las de tine de ceva timp. Că tu nu schimbi nimic, în schimb vrei numai să mă schimbi. Și mă plimb prin toate tipurile care-mi strică filmul. Eu cobor la prima, babe, coboară tu la primul, oh. Cândva nu mă săturam de prezența ta, dar parcă nu mai e la fel și mi-o dă altcumva. Nu mai am același hai, nici când aud te iubesc. Probabil asta pățești când îl folosești prea des.
Faci tu ce faci, îmi place mie. Ai tu ceva de nu-ți rețis. Tu ești și rău, dar ești și bine. Ești drogul meu. Ești drogul meu neinterzis. Ești cel mai dulce compromis.
sunt par cu nimeni. Suntem ea și cu mine, cele mai bune vecine. Dacă vrei să ieși între, să vorbești cu dânsa. Ea e șefa pe iubire, eu sunt șefa la brațe ascunsă. Nu știu cum să mă simt, simt într-un fel amețitor.
Mi-ai făcut farmece, sunt blestemat. Ce mă fac dacă atunci când pleci eu mă simt cel puțin ciudat? Mi-ai oprit inima în piept, nu știe nimeni, ne vedem în secret. Știu că mă minți, nu e corect. Nu mi-a plăcut niciodată să te aștept. Dacă mă cunoșteai, știai. Și dacă mă iubeai, veneai. În seara aia când ți-am scris că mi-ai apărut în vis. Dacă mă cunoșteai, știai. Și dacă mă iubeai, veneai. În seara aia când ți-am scris că fără tine nu exist.
Asta nu-s fire de poveste. De ce sunt un om de noi doi? Ceva ce nu se povestește. Nu ne privește decât pe noi. Noi ne vom iubi, ne vom aminti când se va sfârși.
Îmi vorbești de sus, de parcă mă ierți. Când eu ar trebui pe tine să te iert, nu tu să mă cerți. Discutăm, ne aprindem calicurici, ne certăm din simple caprici. Fata lui tata nu știe sacrificii, pentru mine ca o mie de vici, yeah. Că dacă ne iubeam pe bune, acum nu ne ascundeam de lume. Și când bărbat trebuie să-și asume, și când îl faci bucăți, singur să se adune. Universul să zică ce vrea, ți-e mai bine cu el, mie cu ea. Între noi n-a fost să fie, poate în altă viață, cine știe.
Asta nu-s fire de poveste, e
ce se întâmplă între noi doi. Ceva ce nu se povestește, nu ne privește decât pe noi. Noi ne vom iubi, ne vom aminti când se va sfârși. Asta nu-s fire de poveste, e ce se întâmplă între noi doi.
Să n-ascult oamenii răi și vorbele-n vânt, să nu mă las niciodată înfrânt, că sufletul și inima nu se vând. Da, tată, te aud și acum, să stau o viață drept, să fiu un om bun, că timpul trece și în urmă rămân doar lacrimi și fum. N-aș mai trăi de-o mie de ori amintiri. Hei, mamă, uite-mă, tată, vreau să trăiesc încă o dată. Toți anii să-i aduc înapoi. Pe drum, ascunse toate într-un balon de săpun. Aș vrea să iam aici și să nu-i mai las, să-ntorc toți anii ăștia ca pe un ceas. Și câteodată așa mi-e de dor să mă strângă iar în brațele lor. Doamne, fă cumva și am tot ce vrei, pentru o secundă tu adu-mi pe ei.
Amintiri n-am să le uit. N-aș mai trăi de-o mie de ori amintiri. Hei, mamă, uite-mă, tată, vreau să trăiesc încă o dată. Toți anii să-i aduc înapoi.
Te visam, credeam că ești destinul meu. There's a place in Miami where to hear your soul, fill the glass with your deepest hope, where the faces have no name. I feel I'm home. There's a beach in Miami when the sun is gone. You dance in the sand and you're not alone. There's no faces and no name. I feel I'm home.
Boxele astea nu-mi Rog vecinii să mă ierte că nu știu prea bine ce fac. Băieții pe jos, iar fetele pe val. Toată lumea cu mâinile în aer. Băi, cred că așa e normal. Gărgăriță, riță, te rog, fă-mi pe plac. Ca o poieniță, lasă-mă s-o fac. Mâine scând o serenadă și te iau la val. Sticla de palincă m-a făcut să scând fal. La 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 la.
Guitar King.